I'm going to reread the last verse of where we were at Bible class this morning, because it does apply to the message this morning. Actually, verse 20 and 21 of Philippians 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here. That's what Enoch did. We're just looking. We're looking for the final redemption of our bodies. Who, Christ, shall change our vile body, this one right here, that it may be fashioned like that was conformed, that was jointly formed, similar unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Of course he can. He's sovereign. That means he reigns in righteousness. None can stay his hand or ask him, say, what are you doing? So he's going to change these vile bodies. He's in the process of doing that. Grow in grace. This body's dying. It's getting older. It's getting weaker. But it's not always going to be so. Turn, first of all, to Zechariah 6. I'm going to read a couple verses first, and then we will get into the text. Zechariah 6. Verse 12, and we'll look at verse 13, or that's the text I want to look at before we get to our main text. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. Now that's Christ. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now he's not necessarily, this is fulfillment of prophecy about the temple, but he's talking about these temples, these bodies. Okay. Even he, that's the Lord, that's the branch, shall build the temple of the Lord. And he shall bear the glory. He's going to build it. He's going to bear the glory. It's going to be his responsibility to take us from ruin to redemption to resurrection to glory. It's all on him. Because he said he's going to build the temple and he shall bear the glory. John chapter 14. Bruce was here last Wednesday and I made a phrase that one of the old writers said, and I'll say it again. John chapter 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house, says Christ, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But it doesn't end there. Look at what he says. I, myself, me, the great I am, the pre-existent one, the eternal one, I go to prepare, predestinate, pre-plan, foreordain a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said it. It's got to be true. He goes to prepare a place for you. But I made a comment, some of the old writers would say, but that is, though he's prepared a place for us, he's preparing us for the place. So I'll go back to Philippians. If you don't like talking about Christ, if you don't like to mind earth, if you don't necessarily care to mind heavenly things, if you would rather mind earthly things, the warning is in Philippians is pretty scary. If you don't know Christ, if that's what your concern is, what your desire is. Because he says we're fellow citizens. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. So he prepares us for the place. Now, I may just read it. I don't know. I always say that and I never do. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. I've got it circled in my Bible. So I've looked at this before, but I don't know if I've ever saw it like this or if I've ever preached it. Or maybe somebody else preached it and I circled it. Because I've got it circled in my study Bible and I got it circled in this Bible. So it caught my attention. And now we're going to look at it a little more fully. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. And it came to pass, in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits, was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house. 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. And against the wall of the house he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle he made chambers round about. The neithermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house was made narrow rests round about, that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. The door of the middle chamber was in the right side of the house, and they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. So he built the house and finished it, and covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. And then he built chambers against all the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timber of cedar. Psalms 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. We're talking about us. Except for the Lord save this temple. Because he said our bodies are the temple of the living God. And he likens us to a house when in the New Testament, when someone goes in and sweeps and garnishes, the house is clean. But until that stronger than he binds the man of the house and casts him out, it's the same as it was. People are swept and clean with religion, but if they don't understand Christ, then they're really as bad as they've ever been. They don't understand the truth. They just have religion. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. But I want to look at, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now back to Kings. One verse. Here our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the builder of this house, this temple. Look at verse 7. We are the stones. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, that's us, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. The Lord Jesus Christ is the architect. We're the stones. You mean to tell me, before The house was ever set. The architecture had every jot and tittle, corner, door, stone here, stone there. It was already made ready. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because I look out at you, you look at me, you see dead dog sinners. But we're being worked on. We're being whittled upon for that one day that will finally be set as living stones built up together for His glory. The work's going on. The work was, well, we'll look at it. We are His stones fitted together in His house of grace. We do not work upon ourselves to accomplish this growth in grace. Did the stones chisel themselves? It's foolish. Did the stones polish themselves? It's silly. It's stupid. You know, it doesn't happen. Did we have anything to contribute to how we fit into the house? It's called free sovereign grace. We don't work upon ourselves to accomplish the growth, this growth in grace. As I said, He does all the work upon us here, so we are being made ready for the place in heaven. Made ready. What a word of truth. What a word of grace. What a word of outside agency. We're made ready. But this work, just this verse, I got to looking at it, and it tells me three things, at least three things. It tells me something about the architecture. It tells me something about the architect. That's what we're going to talk about, the architect, God Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I've built a few buildings. I've been in construction now and again. And I don't know if it was Bruce or Don Cross, but they bought one of these pre-made Sears sheds. I wasn't a part of it. I don't know if they cussed or cursed when they... But like every person I've ever talked to about those buildings, they have a whole bunch of nuts and bolts left over. They're like, well, they're supposed to go there, but we couldn't find out where they went. Okay, that's just a shed. That's just a mere shed. Now you take the whole of the elect of God. You take from the beginning of time, as time would so call. You take beginning from Adam and Eve to the last elect sheep is brought in to architecture, to construct a person's life in the most smallest, minute detail, times the number that no man can number, as Bruce says, the number is the sand on the sea. And you take all those, and the end product is they bring it in there. Oh, we need it. No, you don't need the hammer. You don't need to chisel anything off. It just slides right in. And then the next piece, well, this is a brother from Africa, from Abidjan, where Jean-Claude's at. It's a little bit different. It's a little, maybe a little bigger, maybe a little smaller. It needs to be chiseled. Sometimes, if you ever watch people work in that kind of stuff, I used to work with a guy in masonry, and sometimes he would do the blocks, and you'd just chisel, just a couple flakes here, and then sometimes he'd score, bam! Oh, that hurts. We needed it, because he's the great architect. I don't know why this is going on. Bam! Need to be made more like Christ. Bam! Just a little here, a little there. Polish it. Don't get a polish. No, that doesn't feel good. That's okay. It's all going for His glory and His grace. And then you got these a brother over in California. You got this guy named Gene Harmon or something, and he, it's kind of, but it's a corner. It's not shaped like the other ones. It's like a little corner piece. It's not the cornerstone, because Christ is the cornerstone, but there's cornerstones, and he's got to work with that. So each to his own. Each by his own, but all by the hand of the great architect. I cannot understand, my mind cannot comprehend the sheer difficulty constructing a building this way. Now, when I was doing landscaping, I'd always get a lot of times for some reason the architects, when we did a couple businesses like the bank, it used to be Mercantile Bank at the end of Broadway and King's Highway, that one, and the guy, I got to know the head foreman, and he was responsible, and he showed me the plans. And I kind of thought I used to know how to read blueprints. I'm like that thick. It's like, how? Somebody's got to, well, they've got charts and templates, and they do all that. But our great architect, the house, when it was in building, it's not built, we're not in the glory yet, it's in building, was built of stone, made ready. Why are you right here, right now, in this moment? It's according to God's purpose of grace. Made ready. Before, we got so much baggage, we got to be made meet to be partakers of the saints in life, is what he says another place. It's to build a building this way, construction, the architect, the blueprint, all these different things. Yet with God, it's easy, it's possible, it's accomplished. The pure, unchanging Jehovah God in Christ Jesus has pre-made, pre-planned, predestinated all pieces as it pleases Him. He trims here a little, He trims there a little, He as needed, turn it a little bit to accomplish His purpose of grace for each elect child of grace. And they fit exactly when and where He deems necessary to erect us as one individual in His Son, one church, one faith, one truth, says one baptism. So we're all being fit in this one building, the temple. What planning, what sovereign direction, and the minutest details to bring about the most glory for Himself and for His body, the church. This is the best for us, but it's going to bring Him the most glory. Here a little group in Jackson. Here a little group in Newcastle. Here a little group in Florida. Ethiopia. Australia. But there's something else. The architect is beyond compare. Because the house, when it's in the building, the stones are made ready. The stones are made ready. So rest assured, it's not according to luck. It's not according to chance. Not according to happenstance. Time is, circumstances are, situations are, because He has purposed it. But it's for the temple. We're being conformed to the image of His Son. We're just along for the ride. It goes up and down. Tell I know it. But there's a second thing I noticed here. It's the stones. It's the stones. It's us. Whether we think so or not, every stone needs to be trimmed and polished and turned and chipped here, a little chip there, a knock here. Who went to North Dakota and seen the Mount Rushmore? And people say it's ugly. Okay, what they did to the face, you know, whatever. But we went there the second time, and they had a tribute to veterans. I was like bawling my eyes out. It was beautiful. We sat there and they all came. Anybody served, and it was impromptu. So we always honor so Friday, whatever, first Friday of the month. They said, anybody that served, any veteran, now, after whatever, come on down. And they just came down and they had to take the flag and they had to do the little thing. And in the background, there's those men. It was amazing. Well, we kind of interested in the history. Do you think that guy from I think Germany, do you think he got there and just chiseled a little bit of the nose, chiseled a little bit of there? And sometimes they drilled holes and they set dynamite. Now, you take and you go to Crazy Horse, which is going to be another 100 years before it's finished, but you can at least kind of see a little bit about, well, like once a month they have an explosion. All people come, boom, and they'll just blow off a bit, and then they'll get to work on it. But, I mean, they take off big pieces. And I'm sorry, in Adam we all die. There's a lot. We messed up. We got problems. And so some 60, some 80, some 100-fold fruit. Well, how do you get fruit? Well, you got to dung about the tree. You got to trim it. You got to trim. Sometimes you got to trim it pretty hard. You're going to kill it. Well, I thought we were going to kill those bushes, those evergreens on each side of the band shell at Cape. They were real high. They were way out of line. And I said, well, let's just tear them out and start new. Well, the boss, he knew a little bit more about it. I didn't give him credit. But he goes, no. He goes, you just cut them back real hard. Well, there's live wood and there's dead wood. And a lot of species, if you trim into the dead wood, it's gone. It can't recuperate. Well, apparently, this type of juniper, it was very, it wasn't very sensitive to trimming. You could trim them really hard. Because I trimmed them back really hard. They were like, we had to get a step ladder. They were like 12 feet tall. I trimmed them back to like 7 feet. And I got him where he could see in between them. And he came by and he goes, no. He goes, I mean, trim back. I said, well, and he, I understand. He goes, but I worked in a wholesale nursery. He did a lot of trimming. I had did a lot of trimming. I worked in retail, did landscaping. He took those shears and cut. I mean, they were sticks. And we were laughing. Like, eh, we're just going to pull them out. A month later, they were the most beautiful. I had to admit, the most beautiful. He cut, you're not supposed to cut over 50%. He cut 70% of them off, and they came back thick. If you're looking at it when it's just trimmed, he knows a little bit about Jesus Christ. Who does he think? He's not even a DD. He's not a doctor of divinity. He never went to school. What does he know? Well, come and listen. Oh, Matt knows a little bit about geography and stuff, but he didn't listen to him. He'll tell you how God saves a sinner. So the gospel, what is this? Don't despise the day of small things. So these stones, every stone needed to be trimmed. Every stone differently, according to God's hands, as these needed trials, tribulations, afflictions. And by the time it's done, which is done apart from our own selves, because he says in the New Testament, Timothy, not according to our works of righteousness we have done, by the time he's done with us, it we fit perfectly. And why not? Because who's doing the faithful work? It fits correctly, it fits perfectly, it fits in unison with all the others in the temple. All the others in the temple. It's like gems in a crown. They just all shine. But he says, and Linda brought this to my attention, and the house when it was in building was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard. Heard. Now, a lot of people talk a lot because they want to be heard, much speaking. Isn't that the problem with the Pharisees? They wanted to be seen of men, they wanted to be heard of men. Well, whatever happened to being content and quiet and just living a life of faith? Okay, so back in the quarry, there's stuff going on. There's racket. There's noise, there's all this other kind of stuff. But I believe this alludes to when we're in heaven, when we're completely complete in Christ, or when we're in Him, and we're in that stage of complete sanctification, complete glorification, there's going to be absolutely no noise of works, of our own righteousness, of anything like it's going to be just pure peace. A peace that he calls that passes all understanding. There's no more work to be done. He's done it all. But here, there's a little noise. Sometimes the preacher gets a little opinionated, and it's like you just kind of okay. I hear what you're saying. Just kind of, you know, maybe bring up politics from the pulpit. It's a little noise. We don't need to be doing it, but we feel like we got something to say. It's a little noise. But remember, the architect, the chief architect, the chief shepherd, is going to make sure all the sheep are herded and worked and wind into the sheepfold. And the master architect, the master builder, who builds the house and not we ourselves, is going to make sure that everything fits perfectly according to his grace. Now this is the gospel. This is the God that we worship. Nobody can tell him what to do. Nobody can question him, his authority. It's the potter and the clay. It's Melinda brought it. It's the potter and the clay. We could have went to Romans. Does the potter say, why did you make me thus? It's ridiculous. You don't do it. Spinning, working that clay, stretching it, a little water on there, bruising it. But his hands, I go to prepare a place for you. And the hands of the potter are perfect. The hands of the potter are full of purpose and grace and truth. And he's not going to make an error. You know, you fire one up and then, there's a crack in it. You start out, you break it, it's not going to happen. Because, and the house when it was in the building was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor tool or iron heard in the house while it was in the building. Now, I worked in construction when I was doing a little bit of stuff with the city, and after we would build these playgrounds from Miracle Company out in Monette, Missouri, we'd build these things. We put a fence around so nobody could get into it because the kids were always trying to jump the fence and they want to play before the concrete's dry, you know, swinging around. I understand that. So we'd have a fence around it. And then when it was done, we'd bring in the mulch. And we checked everything and then we opened it up. Okay, but before we opened it up completely, we went back with all the tools to make sure that, because there's hundreds of these things. They're so intricate. That's what man does. Can we improve on the work of grace? That's why there's no hammer, no axe, no tool of iron, not even heard in the house. It's amazing grace. It just amazes me. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It's not going to be. You're not going to be tore back out. You're not going to. Well, this fit. We thought this is the way it was going to be, but something happened, so we yank it back out. Now, this isn't the wonderful life gospel. You know, this is the gospel of God's grace. We're lively stones. Built up. And who, what does the scripture say? He that builds a house, the Lord builds a house. It is not in vain because he builds a house. The last thing, it's just very short. I cannot get over the phrase, and I'm not making this up, look it up in the Hebrew. This is one of those things, it's not, oh, he's making this up. I cannot make this stuff up. You get a hunch, and you look at it, and you look at the Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew. I didn't write Hebrew. I look at it, and I told Melinda, I just said, this is what it says. I just started laughing. And because she's pointing to Colossians. So turn to Colossians chapter 2. Turn to Colossians. She beat me to it. Because I'm reading in Kings, and she says, well, what? Look at this. And then I looked at the Hebrew. There you go. Colossians chapter 2. Let me read you the passage. This is the last point. It speaks of the architect, the stone, and it speaks of pure sovereign grace. In verse 7 of 1 Kings 6, so that there, was built of stone, made ready. Underline that, made ready. Okay, now turn to Colossians, and you know what that word means in the Hebrew? Complete. It's complete. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that's Christ, and you are complete in him. Paul did write, he wrote nothing new. Which we know that the gospel, this is the everlasting gospel. He didn't write anything different than Abraham. See, people are changing their minds and changing it all the time. If we preach the gospel, we preach the same gospel that Abraham, that Isaac, that Jacob, Benjamin, Moses, Paul, Timothy, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, complete before it was brought thither. Made ready before it was brought. That literally means complete. And we are complete in him. So this is an Old Testament story that illustrates what Paul has been talking about in everywhere he writes. We're complete in him. Now, I know we still sin because we're still in the core. We're still being fashioned. But we're being brought to that temple. Some people, they may live 90 years old. Some may live 50. They're unique. Their stone is, they're unique. But all are being worked upon and being crafted and constructed by the sovereign architect's hand, who does nothing wrong. Matter of fact, so perfect. I don't know how far these quarries were. I could have looked at it. I guess there's historical documentation. But it wasn't next door. But to have it numbered, I don't know what they did. All I know, it was made ready. It was already complete. And when they put it in, they said, you know, we'll do trusses or whatever for the roof. It's like, get a measurement. You know, you measure twice, cut once, as they always say. You do that and you cut it. And it's like, throw it back down, cut it again. But not God. With God, salvation, sanctification, glorification, perfect. Made ready. And no sorrow. What does he say about it? There'll be no sorrow in heaven. That's noise. Weeping, crying. There'll be weeping and crying and gnashing of teeth in hell. But heaven? He takes his tears. They're all collected. Sweet comfort. And sweet peace. Designed by the architect. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God we serve. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Nathan, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we have heard two messages today. Glorify you and humble us. It is so true that